with that font, how it starts off little, I will trust, and then bigger, I will trust, and then really big, I will trust. Because sometimes we just need to take that little step and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And he goes, okay, that's awesome, now I'm going to meet you. And then a bigger thing comes along, because we all know there's always bigger things that happen in our lives. You know, it starts with these little things, like, oh no, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. You know, the Lord takes care of it. Then it's like, oh no, what about this job? What about my children? And then a really huge thing hits. What about this horrible illness? Lord God, we trust in you, Father. Father, we're going to trust you in the small things. And Lord God, when these big things come to us, Father, when we go through trials, Lord God, we are going to trust in you because there's no other place to turn to. Father, we can't trust in ourselves. We're going to fail ourselves. People are going to fail us, Lord God. You will never fail us, Father. Help us to learn that trust into, Lord, just to put all of our trust in you, Father.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a man could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter,
before your throne, Lord God, I pray, Father, help us just to strip away all of our pride, Lord God. Help us to humble ourselves so that we can get the true help that we need, Father. Help us to look to you, Father. And for all the things that we seek, you're our counselor, you're our comforter, you're our keeper, Lord God. And you're our source of love, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that when we are in need and when we are lacking, Lord God, that you are who we turn to, Father. That we can run to each other in love and say, brother, sister, please pray for me. I need help. I need the Lord to speak to me. Can you intercede for me? Can you pray for me? And I pray, Lord God, that if we're on the other end of that, where someone comes to us and asks us for help, Father, Lord God, I pray that our heart's right too, Father, so that we can pray for someone the way that we need to, Lord. Get our hearts right, Father. Help us to be ready in and out of season, Lord. Get me out of the way, because I'm a stinker, and I have lots of pride, and I make tons of mistakes, but you, Father, you're always faithful. Lord God, you don't make mistakes, Father, but you do pick me up every single time I make mine, Father, and I thank you for that, and I can honestly say there is no other place that I'd rather be, Father, than just to be living in your love, Lord. I thank you, Father, for giving it to me. So, you guys can feel free to stand or sit. Someone had asked me a little while ago to play this song. It's not really a worship song, and I don't know if I missed the window, but maybe the song speaks to you. Maybe you're hurting right now. It's just a song that's from people, all different walks of life, that need the Lord. Cries in the corner where nobody sees. Father, we've all been through so many different things, Lord God. We all have different things going on in our lives, Father. But I pray, Lord God, that we also understand, Father, that our love comes from you, our hope comes from you, Father, that we need to keep our eyes focused on you, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that that maybe the song was for someone here today, Lord God. Maybe it's just a song that someone can share with someone else, Father, but that's we're all lacking, Lord God. There's all things that we need, Father. But you're the source, Lord God, and we come to you, Father. I give you this day, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that you just 100% just lead the teaching today, Father, and I just pray that our ears and our hearts are open. Amen.
Hey, let's kind of keep an attitude of prayer. We've got a little video. You know, we're talking so much about love. And everybody's focusing, you know, on Valentine's Day, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but the biggest thing is to remember that you're loved by your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to show just a short video, and we just want you to think.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. They come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. In me, you live. for all your days are written in my book. I determine the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I've been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. You are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father. And I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child?
Watching this video, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Can I ask you that? Yes.
I have a family member that is not walking with the Lord, and she's so far away from the Lord that I don't even like to talk to him. And every time they get in real big trouble, they call me. And I hung up on her the other day. We talked a lot and I hung up. And God is telling me I have to love him. My niece, her daughter, is headed for prison right now. And praise God, she's going to prison because she's so wicked. It's so hard for me to love on him. And the Lord's telling me I have to.
Praise the Lord, Mary. Thank you for being so honest.
I'll turn back on.
What is God speaking? Is God speaking something to you? As you watch, as you worship, was he speaking something personally to you?
He's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I just have to be patient and listen. Listen.
Amen.
Slow down.
I want to say, Father God, Paul said things to me that I've never really heard from my eternal Father. I mean, I know he kind of loved me, but he just kind of saying things like that. But it's just another thing, too, is hearing the love that a father has for a son. And you give up your son.
Good for you. Isn't that amazing? Good. Who else? Who else wants to share? Yes.
I was walking Lydia over to the children's church to go be a helper. I didn't know if they had enough people over there. And it was neat because she goes, "Hey, Mom, you know what that last song, you know?" And I was crying, you know? I go, Lydia, I go, you know why that is? I go, because, I go, most people in here, including myself, we've done a lot of things, you know, we've made a lot of mistakes, but just the fact that we have a Father in heaven that loves us so much, just to forgive, to wipe that slate clean, just to forgive us, just to know that we have such, someone that loves us so much, I go, that's why it's, you know, that's why it touches us so much, that's why it's so amazing, you know, just to know that after everything I've done, that my Father in heaven loves me so much.
Yes. Yes. That's good to see.
I think it's kind of amazing that we're here at this time, and I honestly believe that it's God's purpose for us to be here. I would go into the testimony, but it's too long. I do want to share one of the biggest things that God has shown me in the last year, which is, as Christians, we have to be known for what we stand for rather than what we stand against. Let me explain what I'm trying to say with that. We're supposed to stand for love, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, keeping no record of wrong. Pretty much what it says what love is. That's what we're supposed to stand for. But walk to anybody in the world, a secular person, and ask them what they think a Christian is. And what's the first thing they say? Oh, Christians are judgmental. They start naming all these things that we are and what we stand against. Oh, we're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to do that. And that was one of the biggest things that God has taught me in the last year. It's, what would you rather stand for rather than stand against?
Yeah. 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 Good. Anyone else? Yes. Corey.
I'm reminded of this, the love of the Father for his children. And how this come back to Tom and I were reading this morning, and I want to share it with you. From this devotion about the loving care of God's loving care for us. And how God says, "I bore you on eagle's wings." The Lord used a precious and powerful picture and said that a mother eagle does not carry her young in her claws like other birds. Instead, the young eagles attach themselves to the back of the mother eagle and are protected from any attack from the ground as they are carried. Any arrow from a hunter must pass through the mother eagle before it can touch the young eagle on her back. The Lord has the same loving care for us. Whatever arrows or attacks come our way, they must first go through the Lord himself. And it just makes me think of the love of Jesus Christ, how he was willing to go, suffer, die on the cross for us, so that we don't have to suffer and die that kind of agonizing separation from God for eternity. Amen. And through life, we're carrying on his back, upon eagle's wings. And we need to remember that, because the warfare is hot out there. It's horrible what's going on in the world. But God has us under his wings and on his back. And that's a wonderful comfort and thought for me.
It's a beautiful picture. Awesome. Good. Who else? Susan, you going to make me call him? Anyone else?
I have family members also. I've got a brother that's in the hospital. He had a lifestyle that was the world, the drinking, the smoking. He was really a pretty good person other than that. I mean, he just got caught up in the drinking and the smoking and the marijuana, whatever, and lost his family because of it. And, well, he's in the hospital now, and he's been in a couple times, and I've communicated with him as best I can. Now he's in intensive care, and I did visit him. He's been in intensive last Saturday, and I did visit him one time. I didn't want to go. I've been praying every day, of course. But and God is still, he's progressing a little bit. It was a severe, serious. His intestines ruptured, everything is inside. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, but God is still, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in heavy medication, but still alive. So just pray that. And it makes us realize that we really need to get to our family.
Amen. Yes. That's good. I'm sorry. Mark? Oh. I'm going to hear that. Sorry. God's speaking something to you. Sometimes sharing it helps us all, right?
What he's been speaking to Myra for the last 6 months, and it was really reinforced here this morning, is that we need to love each other for who we are, not for what we can do for each other. If you want an everlasting love, if I want an everlasting love for anyone in my life, including my wife and my closest friends and my family, I have to love them for who they are, not for what they can do. As I get older, I notice that I can't do the things that I used to do when I was younger. And if people don't love me for who I am, that love can dissipate because I can't do what I used to do. Amen. Who I am in Christ and who he is in me is what is lovable, not the things that I can do.
Amen. Amen. Good work. Mark, could you give that to Wendy Jo? I think she wanted to share something.
My mom and dad, we don't have a really good relationship, and I've been praying a lot about and trying to reach my dad. And gave him a Bible, and he decided to go back. And God told me to just put my hands off it and wait. The last couple weeks, God told me I can't just be a peacekeeper and let the situation just rest as it is anymore. To be a peacemaker. And so, try to reach out to him, try to see what we can do to maybe make us some peace. He's not getting any younger, and he's not saved. So, just something that God's laid on my heart, like, because just let things stay, but I gotta make peace. So, when God closes, he's a peacemaker.
Amen. Anybody else? You know, God's love is pretty awesome. And he's faithful even when we're faithless. That's a good dad. And I know these times are tough, You know, and I'll just share with you, I love it when people like Carrie or Barbara, or when you guys share those type things. And also, when you come back to mind, you pray for that situation. I love it when we're open and honest like that, even if it's hard. You know, I want to let you know, when I was on my face up there praying for the Lord, because I was just asking, even this morning as we were praying, I was just asking, Lord, would you just give me an unction of your Holy Spirit? Will you fill me with afresh with your love, supernaturally afresh? Because the world is right there, and it wants to tap everything out of you. And the enemy is right there too. He wants to kill you and destroy you. And it says, because of the increase in wickedness in these latter days, that the love of most will grow cold. So in your flesh, you don't have hope. However, you do have an everlasting source of hope, a supernatural God who can supernaturally infuse you with a love that you don't have, or that the enemy has beaten out of you, or the world has sucked away from you, or whatever you want to say. And so in Jesus' name, I just want to pray for each person here, Lord, that you would infuse them with your love. In Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, Lord God, as they struggle, Lord, that you would be with them in Jesus Christ's name right now. And you would strengthen them in a way that sometimes we can't, Lord God. Would you bring healing to hearts today? Would you bring healing to minds today? Would you bring your presence in our heart to lift us up, Lord? Maybe some of us are in a dark, dismal place, Lord God. So, Lord, would you infuse that supernatural love for us, Lord God, that we would just bubble over, Lord, your living water, and splash it on others, Lord. Yes. Help us not to hide that reservoir of what little we got left, but help us to give it away, Lord God, to others, Lord, knowing that just like that woman in the Old Testament, Lord, with the oil, Lord, as fast as she could fill up those pots, Lord, whatever, Lord, you would supply more. And so, Lord, help us not to become reclusive or hide, but instead to give away all the more. So put that in our hearts today, Lord God. Fill us afresh with your love, your word, and your Holy Spirit, that we may overflow on others, Lord God. And would you heal each person here who's hurting, who's alone, who needs encouragement? Would you meet them, Lord? And I thank you for even speaking to them through worship, or speaking through your word, through the video, or speaking even through this time as we get into your word, Lord God. Thank you that you care enough about us personally to continue to speak to us too, Lord God. Because sometimes we all like sheep go astray. So bring us back, Lord, to your heart. Bring us back to your word. And bring us back to your Holy Spirit. And help us to surrender to you completely. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I think about even this, you know, for those of you who don't know, Justice Scalia, who's like on the Supreme Court, is probably the most conservative Supreme Court justice, and those of you who don't know, he just died. And this is just happened, I think it was last night. And so this is going to change the whole, balance. Nobody expected this to happen. And our present administration, is not going to choose a morally conservative person. So this is going to really, I don't even know if this is going to have devastating effects, but thank God we have a God who is bigger than that, who's greater and stronger than all of that. So we need to be praying for our country. Also tonight, if you guys are interested, they still have, I think, some tickets left. The USF Sundome for United. Hillsong United is playing tonight at 7 p.m. Also, we're having an after-church potluck. That's Sunday, February 28th. That's in 2 weeks. Is that right? At the Weaver's House. Okay. So bring your Frisbees, bring your zip lines, bring your food. Thank you guys for Well, I guess you don't need to bring the zip line there. You have one. Is there a theme? That's
eat.
What is
eat.
It?
Food.
Food. That's a good theme. But you know what? That's a good thing for us to get to know one another, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's skip some of these. Hey, by the way, we have a men's cookout Tuesday. If you would like to come out and fellowship with the guys and just get together and just get into the Word and pray for one another, you know, we just want to encourage you. We're having a cookout. Is it right, Mark Manley? What are you doing?
Barbarian dogs.
A group effort.
A group effort?
Yeah. Hot dogs covered with pulled pork with baked beans and coleslaw. I'm telling you, it's just awesome.
Okay, and that's this Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 6 p.m. I think is right there.
Yeah.
And 5:30 for Frisbee. God willing. And then we're going out through the life of David. And his first name. Yeah. You guys
hear
that?
Yeah.
Also, whosoever's youth group going through the Book of John, hopefully, right? Josh, Manatee County Youth for Christ, and that's 6:30 to 8:30. You're welcome to come out. We'd love to have you. And then this Friday, and the time is wrong. It's 6:30, right? It starts at 6:30, 7:30. It's more focused on prayer. And so if you'd like to come out this Friday night, we'd love to have you. Want to be prayed over or just pray together. It's a great time. So, okay, so we are in the Book of Jude. You guys, we get your Bibles. Hey, Joe, will you grab that second Bible right there? And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. And Jolton Joe will bring one to you. And if you don't have a Bible, you can actually keep it as a gift in Jesus' name. You want to put the Word of God in your hands. Good. Actually, Jess, is that for that? So what was the song I was singing last week? I can't remember.
No, I'll tell you. Okay.
Another pastor can slam like that?
Not to their face.
Well, we've been in the Book of Jude for about 2 months, and I think we're in verse about 11. But we're getting through it. We're going to make it. There's a lot of stuff here. He's talking to us about contending for the faith. And so, we'll be going through. Bless you. Okay, last week we went through, I don't even know how many verses. One. Okay. It seems like a lot, okay? We did a lot. So Jude is saying, he said, I want to talk to you guys about our common salvation, but I got to warn you about these false teachers, about these false believers that are coming in. They're going to lead lots of folks astray. I want you to recognize them. I want you to know. I want you to understand what's going on. Mark, man, would you read verse 11 for us? This is basically what we covered last week. We did a lot of reading, and we just talked about these things. So I just want to, if you would read, Mark Manley, Jude, verse 11.
Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for Cain they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Okay, so from what we read last week, I just want to make sure, okay, these false teachers, they have certain ways about them. So, again, what was the way of Cain? You guys, what did we talk about last week? Just tell me, I want to make
jealousy.
Sure that you, what was it?
Jealousy.
Jealousy is the way of Cain, that's right. Being jealous of someone else. You know that Cain let that rot out his heart. That works, it rots you from the inside out. Listen. If folks come in here, into our church, and they've got abilities that are better than you, praise the Lord. If they come into your work, and you feel threatened by them, you know what to do as a Christian? Bless them. Encourage them. Pour out on them. As a Christian, that's what we should do. At school, if you see somebody, they're prettier than you or cooler than you, and you just want to get all bitter in your heart, instead, bless them. That's what a Christian does. Self-sacrificial love. Don't let that jealousy eat you alive. There's no reason to be jealous. What else is the way of Cain besides jealousy? We talked about that. What else?
Murder,
anger. That's right. Pride, absolutely. Doing things our own way instead of God's way. Well, I think this, my sacrifice is going to be acceptable. All right, you know, so I'm living a sexually immoral life, but, you know, I'm doing lots of other stuff. I tithe by 20%. That's more than most people. So I'm making my own rules instead of obeying what God says. You can't do that.
So basically, rebel against this, right?
You what?
Basically, rebel against.
Rebelliousness.
Yeah,
yes. It's rebelliousness against God's way. And sometimes we think Cain is like, rawr! No, Cain was making a sacrifice. It's just not what God asked. He's making his own sacrifice. So I want you to think about that. Apply it to your life. Apply it to my life. Is there something in your life that God is asking you to make a sacrifice in, or to obey him, or set up a prescribed thing for you to do or to say, and you're not doing it? You're doing your own way. That's the way of Cain. Okay, what else? All right, what about, what is the error of Balaam? Balaam's error. What was Balaam's error? Anybody remember?
Greed.
Profiting off the things of God. Terrible, man. That should never be in a church, but yet, it totally is. It's pretty terrible. We've already gone through those things. Okay, bear with me for a second. Okay, good. All right, what about Korah's rebellion? Because we went through the ways of Cain, that's anger, okay, right? Jealousy, right? Anger is cruel, fury is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Proverbs 27:4. Pride. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Greed. Luke 12:15 says, Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. That's like an anti-American scripture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Wait. Who saw that? Right, erase it from your minds. Okay, so what was Korah's rebellion? Oh, come on. You saw it.
They rebelled against authority.
Yes, you're right. Korah's rebellion. Okay, what was it? One of them was envy. Okay, right? Okay, what, jealousy, yes. What else? Rebelliousness, right? Envy, right. It's basically, it's comparing yourself to others. There should never be that. It, you know, if that's in your heart, it's something that has to get uprooted. It has to be got out of your heart. It'll kill your relationships. It'll kill a church. Psalm 37, we've talked about that. We won't do that again. But Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones," or envy is like a cancer in the bones. Wow. Okay, what else though? What was one of Korah's problems? He was a Levite, remember? He was a servant of the Lord. He was a leader. He had tons of people following him. He had all this stuff.
He was discontented.
He was what?
Discontented.
Oh. How what? How easy that can be. That's right. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Be content with what you have." You know what? We almost never are. But we should be. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food, clothing, we'll be content with that." Korah wanted to be the head hog at the trough, which basically is just the biggest servant. He wasn't satisfied with just having a lot. It would be like, well, if I can't lead worship, well, I'm gonna take my ball and go, I'm not going to play. If I can't be the pastor, or if I can't lead a Bible study, or if I can't be the whatever it is, it's just it's being content where God has you. The grass is always greener. You can be that way in your marriage. You can be that way in your church. You can be that way in your job, can't you? I'm not saying that, you know, you don't want to try to do things, you know, better yourself and those type of things. But I think that contentment is we're not content in the Lord. It causes all sorts of strife. It stirs up all this jealousy, anger, all this yucky stuff. Be content, knowing that God's going to work it all out. Okay.
He also made a lot of conscious promises. It might be little, okay, to get what he wanted versus what God had to offer him.
Yes.
Okay? And so many times we do that. It's like, well, it really won't make a difference. I'll just do it this way.
Yeah.
Okay, and then...
But they add up, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They add up. And before, you're far away from the Lord. And you're mad, and you're discontent, and you're angry with everybody. Now I'm be content. The Lord, you can trust him in all things. As we get into the next verses, we're gonna actually see like six pictures. We're gonna get six pictures of these false teachers and to help to explain why these false teachers are so dangerous in the church. And so would somebody mind reading, please? Let's say... How about 12 to 13? Who doesn't mind reading? Okay. Go ahead, Esky.
These people are blemishing at your love, eating with you without slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of sea foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever.
Wow. These men are blemishes at your love feast. I think some of your Bibles might say filthy spots or something. But basically, what it means is the Greek word there is actually called spilas. And what it means is hidden rocks. That's actually what it literally translates to. And the picture of it is picture a reef. Like if you're on a ship, and you only see, you can't see, the water looks great. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
The water looks great. And then you see just a little dark spot.
Yes.
You know? And then all of a sudden, you're cruising on. Have you ever done that in a boat or whatever? But you hit one of those rocks, rips through the hull. That's what they're like. You got to really look for them.
It sunk the unthinkable ship.
Yes, it does.
They
didn't see how deep. Oh, that's good. Oh, damn. They didn't see how deep that was. What's the big deal? It's just a little spot. It's just a little blemish. Instead of getting together and being a blessing to the body, they're actually taken away from the body. They're actually going to harm the body. Whether it be their attitude or their doctrine or whatever it is, that's what they are. They're hidden rocks. And they're blemishes at your love feast and what communion or we get together as a body. And it says that they're eating with you without the slightest qualm. They don't care. They're coming here to feed themselves. Yes, Peggy.
They're rocks that look solid, but they're not. I mean, they can do the damage, but they come across spiritually as looking strong and solid. And people tend to follow them.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, we're gonna talk about that. Now. Yes, you know what? God's people, you know, if we don't really know the Word of God and really know, understand the heart of God, I've watched God's people follow anybody.
Yeah.
In fact, the more charismatic a person is, or the more, and we're gonna talk about some of those things, exactly what you're talking about, loud or whatever, man, they'll just, I don't know, it's like, it scares me. It talks about these guys. It says they eat without the slightest qualm, but they're shepherds who only feed themselves. The point is, it's like when you come here to church, God wants to not only pour into you, but he expects you to pour out. You know what I'm saying? If you just get poured into and poured into and poured into and poured into, what's going to happen?
Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea. Mm. You're going to become this fat, bleh, I just don't want to do anything. No, God wants to pour in so you can pour out. And folks that don't, and we're not talking, we're having a potluck here, right, in a couple of weeks. So there might be some of us that don't pig out at the potluck. But when you come to this church, are you coming thinking, oh God, I'm so excited that I'm going to be able to pour into others. I can't wait. Lord, I'm not here just to feed myself. I want to bless somebody else. I want to encourage somebody else. I want to pray for somebody else. Oh Lord, let me serve somebody else. Let me just encourage one person. Sorry, that hurt. Sorry about that. Sorry. Are you only thinking of yourself when you come here? Or are you thinking, how can I serve others? That's the heart of a servant, isn't it? He goes on to say, there's shepherds who only feed themselves. What do you think that means? Maybe I explained it already, but what does that give a picture of? What is it?
Selfish.
Yeah.
Politicians.
Exactly.
TV evangelists, politicians.
Yeah. Neglecting the flock.
Neglecting the flock. Using the flock to your own advantage.
Themselves alone.
Yeah, you get rich.
Yeah.
Listen, go to Ezekiel. We never go there, but there's I love the scripture verse. It's in Ezekiel 34. It's one of my favorites. I haven't taught on it in years. But I think it's Ezekiel 34. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so first we're going to talk about shepherds and the sheep. Okay? And God was prophesying against all these shepherds, all these leaders, all these... So, listen, if you're a leader of anything here in this church, you should be the servant of all. You should be trying to build up everybody else and bless them. It's not about you. There's really two kind of leaders. There's two kind of leaders, basically, when you boil it all down. There's the leaders that... The people are there to serve them. I want to feed my ego. I want you to think I'm the man. I want you to give me a lot of money. Or there's leaders that are there to say, I want to see if I can bless you, encourage you, pray for you, build you up, strengthen you. That's right there. There's two kinds. And so this is what he says. Listen. Starting in verse... Actually, I'm going to go to verse 2. Yeah, right here. You're right. Ezekiel 34, I'm going to start. Sorry, 3-4. Starting in verse 2. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. What? Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock? You're busy working on doing everybody else, but you're not going to try and encourage the folks here? What are you doing? It says, verse 4, you've not strengthened the weak. You've not healed the sick. You've not bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Ouch. And because of that, he said, I'm going to go search for my sheep and look after them myself. He said, I'm going to rescue them. Listen to this. Go jump down to verse 13. He says, I will bring them out, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will pasture them. Verse 14 says, I will tend them in a good pasture. Verse 15 says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the Lord with justice. If that's your Jesus, if that's your good shepherd, how much more are we to be imitating that? Bring back the strays. folks, the only way you got here is if you strayed in there. I don't know how you got here, most of you. I meant more of a metaphor. You know, how did you actually, how did God get you here? You know? But God's bringing in your strings. If he has you here, it's for a reason. But it doesn't only apply to pastors. Jump down to verse 20. Jump down to verse 20 of Ezekiel 34. I need somebody to read this. Starting verse 20 to 24. Who will read this for me? Okay, right, go for it. Actually, that's good. I thought you were supposed to read
this. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep.
Now, obviously, he's not talking about, like, you know, me versus Chris or something. But anyway, keep going.
Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until they've driven them away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
I read verse 21, and I think of these sheep who are shoving and hitting them with their shoulders and butting all the weak sheep out of the way. Man, that is not how we should be. Just the opposite. Oh, Lord God. You know, if I'm ever the cause of someone else's harm, my heart breaks. I can hardly live with myself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes I say things that are just done by mistake. You know what I mean? Dirt. You know what I mean? Sometimes people are hearing things that I'm not saying. I can't do anything about that. You know, maybe that happens with you. You know, I didn't mean that. What did you? But there are some times that we can really be nasty people. You know, sheep bite. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
They have teeth. Ouch. They do. We should never be the ones that are purposely causing harm to others. Instead, we should be looking, how can we grow them, encourage them, bless them? That's the heart of a shepherd. Or shepherdess.
I think that what you're talking about goes along with what my brother was talking about earlier, that as Christians, we are often regarded as the harsh, judgmental people. And I don't know how we're going to change that, you know, nationally. But, you know, we can do our part here. You know, I think we just really need to drop what we're against or what we're for and embrace people instead of talking about how terrible they are, you know.
Yes, I agree.
To a certain extent, I think, you know, Christians, they live by a set of rules. The commandments, the Bible, versus another set of folks that really have a society that's more balanced, a set of rules to live by.
Yes, even more than that, Ray, I like where you're going to, too, but even more than the rules, it's the relationship.
Right.
So, I believe me, I'm all for standing for truth and being immovable. I don't think we should be like, oh, whatever, let's just go with this window dart. It's no big deal. Oh, yeah, whatever. I think we have to stand firm on what the Bible says, okay? But I also don't have to bring the hammer every time to people. Well, you know what? Sometimes there's times when you do rebuke.
You got to get us listening.
There's sometimes where we're going to get into that. But here's what I find most Christians, they start with the hammer. You know what I mean? And if I'm in the flesh, I bring the hammer. I don't like it, but I do. Man, that should never be. Yes.
I just want to make a comment to bringing the hammer. There's actually, like, in the New Testament, when they're writing to the churches and all that stuff, we got to realize that as a church, we have to call each other out harsher than we call the world out. Paul says, I think it's Paul, where he writes and he says, if you see your brethren in sin, mm-hmm. know notice how he says brother. He says the church. Right. You see your brother in St. Colton. If he doesn't listen, go with another. If he doesn't listen at that point, bring him to the church. If he doesn't bring him at that point, he says hand him over to Satan.
Right.
That's what he says. He says just hand him over to Satan. Yeah. They say and do whatever he pleases with him. And at that point, when he's hit rock bottom, it charges the church to go after him with love and kindness and mercy so that he can bring them back into the family of God.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think that's the taking a stand. But it says, the Bible says to speak the truth in love. You can still be truthful with people and be loving to them. Now, whether they receive it, you can do it in the kindest, loving, humble way. But most of the time, we don't do that. You know?
Basically, I was just going to say, along the same things that everyone else is saying, but it is written that it's not for us to judge those outside the church.
Yeah.
We're to love them. We're to set the example for them. We're supposed to witness to them. We're to rebuke those in the church. And I think we need to be very careful of that.
Agreed.
You know, is that as Christians, it's the non-believers who are viewing us as the hypocrites. You know, because that's exactly what happens.
If we forget when we're witnessing to people, if we forget who we are in God, we want to use the hammer because we're afraid, because evil is with them and it's scary.
Yeah.
So we have to constantly remind ourselves who we are.
That's right. It says that love, we're disciples by the love we have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but these guys, it says that they're shepherds who only feed themselves. It is another picture. Here it is. They're clouds without rain, blown about by the wind. You know, when I think of clouds like Israel, if you go over there, I mean, think if you're a farmer. Think how important rain would be to your crop in a desert area. It's like, man, you see the cloud coming. Oh, rain, that means food for my family. That means I can, we're saved. You know. But if it doesn't produce any rain,
then it's
blocking out the sun. That's all they're doing. And that's what these false teachers are. It says it goes on to say they're clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. They're autumn trees without fruit, uprooted. Man, they're without fruit and without root. I mean, Jesus, Matthew 7:15, it said we are to bear fruit. That's how you will know that we're going to be bearing fruit. Right? God wants us to reproduce, right? Matthew 7:15. Can someone read that for me real quickly? And then I'm going to have someone else go. Chris, do you mind going? I'm going to have you go to Jeremiah. I think 17. Okay, Chris, remember that? Okay, what does Matthew 7, 15 to 16 say? Yeah.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thorns?
Yes. Basically, it's just saying, look, you're going to be bearing the fruit of love. That's what you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what you're going to be bearing. And you know why that's so important to bear fruit? Because if you've ever opened an apple or an orange, what's on the inside of it?
Seeds.
And those seeds are going to go forth, and what are they going to do?
Produce
more fruit. Do you remember the farmer who sowed the word of God? Some of it fell on hard soil. The enemy came, took it away. Some of it went on rocky soil. You know, it sprang up quickly, but because it had no root, nothing happened. The other ones sprang up, got choked out by the weed. There was no fruit. But there was some that produced fruit 30, 60, and 100 times. That's what God's wanting. So he's saying these false teachers, they're not going to have that fruit of the Holy Spirit in a life. What does that compare that to what Jesus said? I mean, they're dead. They have no root and no fruit. But compare that to a man that's filled with the love of God and the Holy Spirit. What does Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8 say? Hopefully. Chris, what does that say?
He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. His confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted in the water, sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit.
Yeah. Listen, you don't have to fear. And I say that to myself because you know what happens when the drought comes? You know what I do? I get afraid.
Trust in the Lord.
And I have to go back and purposely put my trust in the Lord. Like Psalm 1, you know, talks about that well-watered tree, or just Jeremiah 17. It always will yield its fruit in season. I don't have to worry about it. I just have to abide in the vine. Yeah, Tom.
It just reminds me, when God created, He put seed in every fruit-bearing tree. But today, we make hybrids. We want to provide seedless fruit.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I would have thought of that one.
Man's trying to improve, oh my God.
That's, man, yeah, that's right. Oh, he can do it better. That's a good one.
Oh, it's inconvenient. I got sprinting seeds.
It says the verse 13 that they're like wild waves of the sea foaming up the blackest shame. That makes me think of Penny, what you were saying. You know, there's all this action, there's all this stuff happening. You know, have you ever been out like after a storm or something like that? Have you ever walked down Siesta Key Beach or Bradenton Beach? What's there? Debris. There's dead fish. There's that nasty stinky. I don't even know. And that and the foam. There's just this nasty foam.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you. But because all that churning and all that stuff is bringing up all the muck and the mire and the junk and bringing it, killing stuff. That's what they're actually doing. There's a lot of action going on, but it's not yielding any good thing good. It's actually bringing a lot of dirt, mire, and death. Yuck. But
a lot of good shells to pick up.
There might be some shells to pick up, but that doesn't go with my description. Thank you. Anyway, banana days. It says that they're wandering stars. Now, I think that's kind of a good one, too. I like that because, to me, some translations might say something else, but wandering stars is good, or a shooting star, or a fading star. And if you've watched a lot of these teachers, I won't name some of them by name, a lot of them fade away. A lot of them rise up and, like a shooting star, and they crash to the earth, right? That's where it's going. You also, you can't set your, what do they call it? The ships, was it a sextant? Well, anyway, I'll say navigation, that sounds better. I think it is called the compass sextant, something like that.
Sextant.
It is, okay, all right. That's what did they call it, okay. All right, so anyway, so basically that's what he's saying because, you know, the Bible also in Revelation refers to Jesus as a star. Philippians 2:15 says that we're to shine like stars in the heaven. But when I look at that Revelation verse, what I think it's 22:16, when I see that, that's a point where I can fix my eyes and I can navigate. I know where north is, south is. I'm going to know how to get where I'm going by fixing my eyes on the star, by fixing my eyes on Jesus, the starter and the finisher of my faith. If those stars are moving, wandering all over the place, we're going to crash. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus alone, He's going to help us to navigate the course. He's going to help us to miss the rocks and the storm. He's going to get us through all that. That's what He does. That's who He is. Okay, now I got to tell you something. Okay, first off, I read all those questionnaires. This is my ADD brain. Those questionnaires were amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those for a second. And there was some amazingly encouraging stuff about our body here. Amazingly, also some challenging things, which I appreciated as well. But one of the things was, somebody wrote this, and I'm not making fun of it, I'm just trying to be conscious of it. You know, one of the negative things was, try not to yell at me, I'm not a child. So I just want to explain, if you're new, and I'll watch that too. But when I just get excited when I talk about the Word of God. So please don't take it as I'm yelling at you. I'm just, man, this is more passion. So it's not like
you
that.
Have to look at somebody, right?
I just want to make sure. So I got kind of excited there. I didn't want somebody to think I was yelling at them. Anyway, all right. That's probably is. All right, 14 to 16, and we'll stop with that. I really want to continue to the end, but we're just not going to make it, so I just got to let that go. Yes. Yes, you can.
One thing that, like, I've heard a lot in our family, not our personal household, but kind of outside, that, you know, we have to be careful, like, with the judgmental thing, because too often I hear from Christians, you can't judge me, only God can judge me. You know, there's a difference of speaking truth to somebody and judging them. You know, because we speak truth and we tell you this is what God's word said, we're not judging you to hell. We're not judging you. We're bringing something to your attention. So as Christians as well, we need to be sensitive. Maybe what they're speaking is not true, but we need to seek the Lord on, okay, Lord, what part of this may be true in my life or whatever.
Absolutely.
We're so quick to use the word judge, you know, in that, but and then I think we miss what maybe God wants to show us because we just take offense to the word take it, you know.
Yes, and in Corinthians 5, it does say we're supposed to judge.
I know. Not those different kind of judge.
Right, right.
You know, it's an action, and too often they misinterpret it. You can't judge me.
Right.
Well, you know.
And you can always, honestly, I'm not judging you. I'm just reading you what God's word says.
Yeah.
You can do what you want with it.
A lot of times you just wind it in your own sin or wind it in the situation.
Yeah.
You take it as an attack because
that's
works,
what you do.
You know,
that's
you know,
right.
Because it's hitting that.
Nine out of ten times when that's happened to me, if I'm reacting in the flesh, that's how you can take it. But that's why if we present it in humility and with love, I mean, people, they'll still do it a lot, but they have to work really hard to get mad at you. And then you can leave knowing that, man, I feel okay about this. They're still mad, but I don't think that's my fault. I think they're more mad at their own sin.
And I'll just say also on the receiving end of that, you know, like when I first became a Christian and grew, you know, I had, you know, supportive people around me, maybe not always doing it the best way, maybe sometimes yes, but bringing things to my attention. I always found that right away, if I wanted to fly off the handle and like get like, usually either it kind of was true or maybe it wasn't, but a lot of the times it was. So I encourage anyone that's on the opposite of that, of, you know, receiving the love, that maybe right away you don't fight it, but just so you know what, like now you're saying, I'm going to go to the Lord with that. Maybe I do have that issue, you know? Okay, because then there's no argument, there's no fight. Someone's loving you, you're accepting love, you're going to the Lord with it. So.
All right. It does. You did good. Yeah. Lester.
In reference back to false teachers,
yes.
Could we look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to the first part of verse 3?
I apparently will. I think that's great. Let's do it. Deuteronomy what, sir?
13.
Yeah, that's from Back to the Bible.
1, 1-3.
Because a lot of times, people look at the signs and the wonders and they use that as authenticity instead of looking at what the person is teaching and his lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that's what this is bringing out of
it. Yeah. Go ahead. And what was it? Deuteronomy what?
13.
13.
Verses 1.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go for it.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder, it actually comes to pass, whereof he spoke unto you, saying, and now here's the hitch, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet.
I think that's a good word. Fred, you have something else, Lester? I can see it in there.
So, yeah, no, what I'm saying is, yeah, what makes someone kosher or not is not the signs and the wonders, because the Bible even talks about lying signs and wonders.
Yes, and I'll tell you, you know, one of the things you can look at, you know, again, are they bearing fruit? Are they living a godly life? You know, I believe in God doing miracles today. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in all that. However, you know, there are also, I know the enemy can also do some counterfeit stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And I'm thinking of a guy, I don't know if I should, I'm not going to say his name. But I'll tell you, everybody went to go follow this guy a few years back here in Florida. Everybody went to go follow this guy. Everybody was there. And, oh, you guys, this is the Lord. And man, I went there. And, you know, I'm all for God doing, pouring out spirit. But I'll tell you what, this guy, you know, I don't know if he knows the Lord or not, but, you know, it was definitely not of the Lord. You know, hey, I heard you had a miracle. I remember, no, he just heard it wrong. Well, and he went through this thing. Oh, he's trying to tell everybody for the cameras. Oh, God's doing a miracle. And whatever it was, this little kid kept saying, no, that wasn't it. No. finally, he got to the point. He's like, he got to the point with this poor little girl. Okay, well, do you want to see a miracle? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! You know, I just think we got to be careful. You know, does your life also match up?
Yeah.
That's the
point. So.
And what he's teaching.
Yes. Amen.
I want to finish that verse. That
yeah,
well, the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must reverence. So God's allowing it to test out where our heart is. Well, we just ear tickles.
And in the end times, you guys, it says that even the very elect would be deceived, if that were possible, because of the
time.
That particular scenario you're talking about, I had a friend go up to that, and I didn't know anything. I'd never heard of the person before. So they told me what happened, and she had been healed of like a neck pain that she had, and I knew it was a chronic neck pain. So then she's like, well, that, therefore, it's from God, because I was like, I didn't know anything about it, but I was like, well, like, but there'll be, like, there's more fruit. Like, first of all, it's going to last, because Satan will not heal you forever. Like, if he has done some kind of healing, he can do that. And then, you know, like, listen to what he's saying. And it was really hard for her, but she heard from somebody else, not me, something that he had said that was really off base. And then she realized it was false. And I think the healing lasted for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
She was in like more pain than
you
ever.
Know, yeah, and you know, when I have to hear that, you know, he was healing this lady, so he was kicking her in the stomach. Because God wanted to kick her.
Actually,
kick.
God said to kick her in the face.
Okay, well, it was kick her in the face. Ever. Yeah, I remember that. That was, I can't really see that. But anyway, but that's another story. But there's going to be tons of those false teachers out there. But you laugh, but this guy's got a huge following.
But she knew enough about the Lord. When she heard that, she knew that's not the Lord.
I think, you know, one of the things that we have to be careful of, and the whole point was to get to, I didn't even get to any of my life. I got some nice slides. I just want that. Oh, yeah. Okay. I will say this one thing. I already blew that one, so I will go right by that. But, you know, God is telling us all these things ahead of time with these false teachers so that you know. And it makes me think of the Great Wall of China. My wife's dad just went over to China. He's been over there a bunch of times. And he just went to the Great Wall. And so I looked up some stuff, and there's different time periods where they built it. But basically, it's at least 5,000 miles long. You know how they're saying we can't build a border down south? And I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't. But, you know, down south, that's 1,500 miles long today. This is 5,000 miles long. It's 16 to 26 feet high. It's 15 to 30 feet thick. It's well over 2,000 years old, and it's only been breached 3 times in history because they've got guard towers every spot. And do you know why? Do you know why when it was breached each of those 3 times? It wasn't no guards. It wasn't even that they were sleeping. It's that they were bribed.
They were what?
They were given something that they wanted.
Right.
Right.
And these false teachers, you're going to see in just a second, they're going to use flattery. They're going to be boasting about this. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to give you something that you want to hear. They're going to tickle your ears. They're going to make you think about this, that, and the other. That's what they do to create a following for themselves. I never want you to follow a Josh or a Gary or a Darren or a Lisa or a whomever of Josh. I just like the Josh too. I don't know what to say. Whatever. Or whomever else God raises up to teach. You know, a Sue in their group, or we have another small group. Whatever. I want you to follow the Lord. I want you to be so secure in His Word. I really wanted to get to the next verses, but I probably will not do that. But I want you to be so secure in His Word that you cannot be moved. That if I came to you as your pastor and said something that was totally false, then you could come and say, Pastor D, this is not right what you're saying. Right? And I hope that if we are a body of believers that learns to be so securely, firmly rooted in the Word of God, right, as those roots go down deep, right, that we won't be able to be moved. And if a false teacher did come in here or try to create somebody to follow themselves, let me tell you something. I wouldn't even have to do it. There'd be plenty of other people who have already identified them and already spoken them and gone to them. Right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right, good.
Michael. Yeah, you know, Jesus said that the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
He was talking about false teachers there. And a lot of people don't realize that. That's what he was talking about right there in that. And then one more thing.
They're going to promise a lot, but they're going to rob and steal you. Can I tell you one thing? That's a good point. Even with that doctrine, even with the doctrine they give, wouldn't it be great if that once you became a Christian, everybody became healthy all the time, everybody became wealthy? Who doesn't want that? But that's just not the case.
No.
And eventually, when you find out that that doctrine isn't right down the line, now, don't get me wrong, God heals. I've watched it happen. I've had it come supernaturally. I understand that. I've watched God do it to others. I've watched Him do it to me. I know He does. I know He provides. He's a faithful provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want all the time and you're never going to go through a trial or struggle.
Amen.
That's crazy. When that doctrine fails you, you're going to end up enemies robbing everything that's in your treasure house. Yeah, and was there something else you want to say?
Well, one little side note.
Yes.
Years ago, there used to be a lady that would go around the church circles and claim she had the ability to cast out permanent waves out of people's hair. She would do this. This is a true story.
Yeah, don't tell me your name. Don't say your name out loud.
Well, I don't remember what her name was, but somebody asked her one time, why would you want to cast out permanent waves out of people's hair? If you could cast them in, you could make a whole lot of money. That's what they charged out and asked her. I'll never forget it. You know?
That's funny.
I just thought somebody here would enjoy that.
That's crazy.
It's a true story, though. True story.
Well, listen, the bottom line is, guys, we have to focus on His heart, His word, and spirit. Well, at least we got through more than one verse, okay?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, come on. Oh, somebody. Hey, if anybody has any closing comments, I'm going to do that. Otherwise, Lester, do you mind praying? I mean, in a minute, just praying for all of us. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Don't feel like it's a force. But if you're okay with that, I would like you to pray in just a minute for all of us.
Sure.
Yes, any closing comments? Yes.
The verse you read about the tree planted by the river water brings forth fruit in season.
Yes.
You had said that it may be great. But I think what it does for me, all the kids are really discouraged. And you can't be a life of discouragement or discouraged or keep our life in dim, you know. So I like the fact that it says in its season.
Yes.
And that means it's not 24/7 every day. Right. There's fruit all over the place. That there are going to be dry times in between and times where it's growing and times where you don't.
That's exactly
to
right.
Remind yourself of His promises. So He says it will happen in time. That if you see no fruit of all the people you're trying to reach out to, you see nothing. Don't worry about it. Just trust in His promises and keep going straight.
The passage of 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit.
test the spirits to see whether they are from God.
Yeah.
Many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. If you have heard his coming, and even now, it's already in the world.
Amen.
There's your test.
Also, I think you said that you would keep something totally false. But you got to be aware of those who speak a lot of truth.
Yeah, that's usually how they do it, too.
Yes.
That's
true. A lot of truth.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you can see everything they say.
Yes. If I give you a few, if I present you a meal, it's 95% right. 5% arsenic, you're going to still end up dead.
I mean, you have to know the whole.
Yes.
That's right. In fact,
I got that on a slide. Wait, you get to it.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Oh, I spent hours this morning. Okay. Good. Any other comments? I want to hear from you. I'll get it. I want to make sure this side of the room, sometimes I always gravitate to the right. Anybody? Comments? Comments? Oh, Hezekiah, go ahead.
You know about the hammer thing, that we shouldn't just bring down the hammer at first?
Yeah.
This might not be a very good, I just don't know, but the Lord, you know, the armor of God,
yes,
gives us the sword, not the hammer. So we shouldn't just go around with the hammer if you want into a couple of things.
That's a good point. That's right.
Don't be blunt.
That's sure. Good.
Write that one down too, Darren. That's a good one.
Don't be blunt. Okay. All right. One more? Yes, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to throw out here probably my favorite verse in the Bible might be 2 Corinthians 5:19. If someone, people want to look that up now and read it or whatever.
What does it say? Do you mind just for time's sake?
Well, it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not holding the trespasses against them.
Thank you, Lord.
That's one of my favorite. Might be my favorite verse in the Bible. I don't know. It's close.
We got lots of favorites. Yeah.
So, if God doesn't hold their trespasses against them, maybe we shouldn't. Initially.
Yes. Forgive as the Lord forgives us.
Exactly. Right.
All right. Last word.
I did. You're talking about standing firm in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
One of the serious things right now is that the generations that are coming in, they're very Bible illiterate. So they're just going with what they're hearing and then applying that as truth.
Yes.
My suggestion is actually open the Bible to you. So.
Amen! I hope you heard that.
You
just hear me say amen.
Could you repeat that?
Could you repeat that next to my name? Where's the guy with the mic? Where's that? Where's the man?
It's up there.
Oh, never give me technology. Basically, would you say that again nice and loud? Okay. Basically, what he said was this generation is very Bible illiterate. They're very into, this is what I interpreted what he said, they're very into doing things, or just the worship element of it, or just this. We have to know the Word of God now more than ever. And so his suggestion was to get into the Word for yourself. Every time you get a chance, go to a Bible study.
And for others.
Go into it for yourself. Read for yourself. Pray every time. Lord, will you speak to me? Pick a book of the Bible. Ask the Lord to draw you to which book. And then start reading chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so you just won't listen to what people say.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Would you... Oh, Chris. Okay. It's because it's you. It's the very last, though. No. The Holy Spirit's talking. Yeah, I don't want to...
Yeah, it is, because we've listened to a lot of people talk, and we're kind of watching what they say and listening for errors. But a lot of it is hidden in the music that we listen to. Mm-hmm. Modern day music, you'll suddenly hear lines that start out kind of being religious, but then the third or fourth line, suddenly they're taking it backwards into paganism type of chants and things, and so I saw a few of those, and I was pretty amazed at some of the Beatles songs and some of the Led Zeppelin songs and the other songs, and thought, oh, well, this is pretty good to start out. But suddenly they're like, hey, can you write?
I even heard you guys, okay, he's not here today. Somebody sent me the link, but somebody actually told me that they were doing a, I won't tell you where, but very super popular in whatever Sarasota, Michigan. They were doing, as a worship song on Sunday, they did an Aerosmith song. Yeah, they did an Aerosmith song. And they did, I don't even say the other one, because that'll get you to get it in your head. But I just think, oh man, so that's a good word. So Lester, can you please close us out in prayer? And if any of the guys, Tuesday, again, we're getting together, come on out for the barbarian dogs. Come on out, and then Wednesday for youth. And for those of you guys who were taking Share Jesus Without Fear on Thursday, if you didn't do your homework, you robbed yourself. Take time, set time, sorry, time away, and do your homework if you missed that. Okay? And then Friday's prayer and praise at 6:30. Okay. Lester, would you mind praying for us? We need it.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Father's love letter to us. Thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts to be receptive to your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're not just hearers, but doers of your words. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the discernment and the sensitivity to your spirit to know the difference between truth and what is not. Because, Lord, your heart is that your children walk in truth. So, Father, we just thank you for our time together here around your word and giving us understanding and giving us insight. And, Lord, as we're dismissed with your love and with your blessings upon our life, we just want to say thank you. We rejoice, Lord, in you and what you're doing in our lives, being transformed by your Spirit working through your word to the glory of God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.